الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من سره أن يحب الله ورسوله ويحب الله ورسوله فليصدق في حديثه وليؤدي الأمانة إذا أؤتمن وليحسن جوار من جاوره، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Honorable elders, my young friends and brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullahu ta'ala is a renowned muhaddith. He narrates an incident in his book of hadith that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam began performing wudu. The Sahaba-e Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in, the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam, had extraordinary love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam. It is reported in a hadith that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would perform wudu, the Sahaba ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in would quickly crowd around him, and they would collect the water that would fall from the limbs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he is performing wudu. They would not let the water or the drops drop on the ground. They would collect it in their hands, in their palms, and they would rub that water over their bodies. And those Sahaba-e Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in who were not fortunate to get a share of that water would try to rub their palms upon the palms of those Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in who were fortunate enough to get that water, and they would try to acquire the barakah of the body of the Prophet Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam through this means. So Imam Bayhaqi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala narrates an incident that the Prophet Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam one day began performing wudu, and the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alihi Majma'in crowded around him, and they started collecting the water in their palms that was falling from the limbs of his body, and they started to rub that water, which is known as Al-Ma'ul Musta'mal in the terminology of the Fuqaha, upon their bodies. Upon seeing this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked a question. He said, "Ma yahmilukum ala hadha?" What compels you to do this? Oh my sahaba, oh my companion, you are collecting the used water, the water that is falling off my limbs into your palms, into your hands, and you are rubbing that water on your body. What compels you to do this? Why are you doing this? What is the reason for this action of yours? So they said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Hubbur Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that compels us to do this. The love that we have for you, this love compels us to respect the water that falls off your limb, to not let that water fall on the ground, to collect that water and to rub that water over our bodies. It is the love that we have for you. It is the love that we entertain and we experience in our hearts for you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent as an extraordinary teacher, innama bu'istu mu'allima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me into this world as a mu'allim, as a teacher. 24 hours around the clock, I do not let go of any opportunity where I am able to teach someone something. I am continually teaching people, instructing people towards those things which, if practiced, people will acquire the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People will acquire Jannah. People will safeguard themselves from the calamities of this world and the calamities of the Qabr and the calamities of the Day of Qiyamah and the calamities of the fire of Jahannam and the calamities of the hereafter. This is my job. This is my full-time engagement, occupation. This is why Allah has sent me into this world. Innama bu'istu mu'allima. I am a mu'allim, I am a teacher. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not let go of this opportunity either. When the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in said, O Messenger of Allah, it is our love for you that compels us to do this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately said, Man sarrahu أن يحب الله ورسوله ويحبه الله ورسوله. من سره أن يحب الله ورسوله. One who desires that he loves Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One who desires that he experiences the love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart. Oh my sahaba, all of you have love for me. All of you have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you and I also love you. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with the sahaba and the sahaba are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah is happy somebody, then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must definitely be happy with that person. So my sahaba, you already have love for me. You already have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have love for you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has love for you. But if anybody from my ummah in future wishes that he becomes the lover of Allah and his Rasul, and he also becomes the beloved of Allah and his Rasul, then he should do three things. I am teaching the ummah that will come after you. I wish to teach the ummah to come till the day of Qiyamah how to acquire the love of Allah and his Rasul and how to acquire the love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. من سره أن يحب الله ورسوله. One who is happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him his love and love for his Rasul. وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and that Allah loves him and his Rasul also loves him. That means one who wishes that he becomes the lover of Allah and his Rasul, and he also wishes that he becomes the beloved of Allah and his Rasul, he should do three things. If one does three things, then with continuity, then these three items will bring about a transformation in his life. A change, a complete change in his life, and he will begin to feel and he will begin to entertain the love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will begin to experience the sweetness of the love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart. And when a person begins to love Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will follow the whole of Sharia, the whole of Deen. And when he begins to follow the whole of Sharia and whole of Deen, then it is only obvious that he will become the beloved of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are three things, three fundamental items. If a person begins to practice these three items with continuity, then he will begin to love Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as soon as a person begins to love Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will become easy for him to carry out the commands of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once he is able to carry out all the commands of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will automatically become the beloved of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here we have a prescription. Prescription to become the beloved of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first item is, فَلْيَصْدُقْ فِي حَدِيثِهِ. Whenever he speaks, he must always speak the truth. Whatever disadvantages he may see in speaking the truth, he must always speak the truth. He must always be prepared to make any material loss, whatever he may have to. But he must always speak the truth. He must remember, as-sidq yunji wal-kidhb yuhlik. Sidq, as-sidq yunji. Truth will always take you to success. Wal-kidhb yuhlik, and lying will always take you to destruction. It is possible that during a particular circumstance you may feel that the only way I can get out of this mess is by lying. Yes, you will get out of that mess by lying, but it will be a temporary success. It will be a temporary success. Due to this lying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create circumstances whereby you will never be able to come out from loss and from mess until you die. You will never be able to come out from the mess. And you will remain in the mess even in the life hereafter. And if a person remains firm, remains steadfast on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he makes a firm resolution that come what may, I will fulfill the command of Allah and I will say the truth. I will put my honor at risk. I will put my wealth at risk. I will put everything at risk. But I will not put my akhirah at risk. I will always speak the truth. Come what may, I am going to say the truth. Then it is possible that he may land himself in a mess temporarily, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create means for him whereby he will escape that mess very soon, and Allah will grant him success until he breathes his last, and Allah will grant him success of the hereafter. فَلْيَصْدُقْ فِي حَدِيثِهِ. We must learn, my friends, always to speak the truth. This speaking the truth is an amal, it is a practice, it is a deed, which is followed by lot of barakah, lot of blessings. The greatest blessing of speaking the truth is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the person who always speaks the truth the tawfiq to follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is committing adultery, fornication, he is consuming alcohol, consuming drugs, watching films, reading filthy novels, he is committing so many sins. But he makes a firm resolution that from today I will not lie. And he remains firm. Then this speaking the truth will slowly, slowly transform his whole life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna sidqa yahdi ilal bir. Allahu Akbar. Inna sidqa yahdi ilal bir. Truth. Truthfulness leads a person towards following the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truthfulness helps a person towards al-bir. And what is bir? Bir is the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَى الزَّكَاةَ وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. The whole deen. In this verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encompassed all the departments of deen. Walakinnal birr. What is al-birr? Al-birr is the whole deen. And those people who speak the truth, this truth will guide them towards al-birr, the whole deen. Inna sidqa yahdi ilal birr. Inna sidqa yahdi ilal birr. Truthfulness guides a person towards al-birr, the whole deen. وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And when a person begins to practice the whole deen, then this guides him to Jannah. This leads him to Jannah. Al-birr is the whole deen. And who practices the whole deen? Those people who speak the truth. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Al-birr is the whole deen. And only those people practice the whole al-birr who have the habit of speaking the truth always. فَلْيَسْدُقْ فِي حَدِيثِهِ. We must always speak the truth, my friends. Come what may. Ka'ab ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu did not take part in the expedition of Tabuk. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites who did not participate in the battle of Tabuk, in the expedition of Tabuk, were questioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, why you did not participate? Oh Messenger of Allah, my wife was very sick, there was no one to look after her. Oh Messenger of Allah, I was sick. Oh Messenger of Allah, I did not have the provision to travel. Every hypocrite lied to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When came the turn of Ka'ab ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala, what did he say? He said, oh Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me the ability to debate with people. Allah has granted me the ability of putting forward arguments and evidences and proofs whereby I am able to make the person content with what I am saying. You know that, O Messenger of Allah. I am in a position to have a good discussion with you and to convince you. But I know that if I lie today, and if I am able to convince you and make you happy today, because I will be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be no barakah. And after a few days, Allah will create such circumstances whereby you will become unhappy with me, and it will become very difficult for me to make you happy. The hearts are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I am going to tell you the truth, that I have no excuse whatsoever, I have no valid reason. I did not participate in the battle of Tabuk, in the expedition of Tabuk, because of my laziness. No valid reason. And I know, I have faith, that if I speak the truth, you may become unhappy for a few days, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create circumstances whereby you will become happy with me, and you will become happy with me forever and ever. For weeks, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam boycotted, and all the Muslim community in Medina Munawwara boycotted Ka'ab ibn Malik and his other two companions who spoke the truth. For 50 days, Imagine my friends, 50 days in Madina Munawwara, Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala says that I began to feel that this is not the Medina that I knew. It was a very strange place for me because nobody was speaking to us. Nobody. But we remained steadfast. We remained steadfast, and after 50 days Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا كَادَ يَزِيغُ قُلُوبُ فَرِيقٍ مِّنْهُمْ أَنْ وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَن لَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا. Allahu Akbar. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that Allah has accepted Ka'b ibn Malik and his other two associates. And this acceptance will remain in the Quran until the day of Qiyamah. Until the day of Qiyamah. So first thing we need to do is, whenever we speak, we should always speak the truth. فَلْيَصْدُقْ فِي حَدِيثِهِ فَلْيَصْدُقْ فِي حَدِيثِهِ. We are not sick. We are not sick, but still we take a medical certificate and claim money from the social security which we are not eligible for. This is lying. This is lying. We are working full time, but we are showing that we are only working part time and claiming social security benefits. This is lying. This is lying. A Muslim does not deceive people. A Muslim does not lie. You are earning £300 and you are showing £150. This is lying. This is deceiving. This is cheating. Islam does not allow this. فَلْيَصْدُقْ فِي حَدِيثِهِ. A mu'min, whatever circumstances may face him, whatever difficulties may face him, whatever challenges may face him, will always speak the truth. Will always speak the truth, and the more higher status he reaches, the more firm he will remain in speaking the truth. He will speak the truth even when Sharia grants him the permission to lie. Even when Sharia grants him the permission to lie, he will speak the truth. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is traveling from Makkah Mukarramah to Madina Munawwara with the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the kuffar and the mushrikeen of Makkah have announced that whoever will bring Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dead or alive will be rewarded with 100 red camels. A great booty, a great prize. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu meets up with somebody who knew Abu Bakr but who did not know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "How are you, Abu Bakr? I am fine. Where are you going?" "Going to Madina Munawwara." "Who is this with you?" Now Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala thought to himself that if I am to tell him this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will travel a few kilometers and he may meet up with somebody who is after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I will put the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in danger. And it is permissible to lie in order to save one's life. So the life of the Messenger of Allah is very, very valuable. It was permissible for Abu Bakr to lie, to save the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when a person reaches that status, my friends, then he cannot utter a word of untruth even when the Sharia gives him the permission to do so. So Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه, if he says this is the Messenger of Allah, he puts the life of the Messenger of Allah in danger. And if he says this is Abdullah or this is Abdul Rahman or this is Abdul Haq, then he is lying. What should he do? And he had to act immediately. But those people who have nothing but truth in them, from the head to toe, truth, truth, truth. It is for this reason he is called Siddiq. Nothing but truth, nothing but truth. Immediately he, very casual conversation, he said, "Who is this, O Abu Bakr?" So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, without any hesitation, said, "Hada rajulun yahdini sabil. Hada rajul yahdini sabil." This is a man who is guiding me. This is a man who is guiding me. He is my guide. And in those days, people used to take a guide with them when they used to travel a long distance, like from Makkah Mukarramah to Madina Munawwara, who shows them the path. So he said, "This is a person who is guiding me. This is my guide." So this person said, "Okay, fine, I will see you some other time." And they left. He thought that this was a guide guiding Abu Bakr from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara. And Abu Bakr meant that this is a person who is guiding me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلْيَسْدُقْ فِي حَدِيثِهِ One must always speak the truth. This is number one. Always speak the truth, my friends. Our aqeedah remains within our heart. What is my aqeedah? You do not know. You do not know. You cannot come to know my aqeedah. If I want to, I can hide my aqeedah. I can conceal my aqeedah. Aqeedah remains within our hearts. And our ibadat, our devotions, our worships remains within the four walls of the masajid and the four walls of our homes. It is the akhlaq, it is the muamalat, and it is the muasharat that the non-Muslims are able to see. And this is where the Muslim ummah is lacking today. Muasharat zero, muamalat zero, akhlaq zero. So people are unable to appreciate Islam. We talk so much about Islam. Islam is a great religion, beautiful teachings of Islam. But we do not practice those teachings. It is not in our lives, my friends. We don't speak the truth. We deceive people. We oppress people. We cheat people. How can people appreciate the beautiful teachings of Islam when people cannot practically see those teachings in our lives? The only thing we have is aqeedah and a few devotions. We don't have muasharat. We don't have muamalat. We do not even know that muasharat, muamalat and husn akhlaq are branches of sharia. We do not even know. We do not even know what muamalat means. We do not even know what muasharat means. We do not even know what akhlaq means. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching akhlaq, muamalat and muasharat. Number one, فَلْيَسْدُقْ فِي حَدِيثِهِ He must always speak the truth. Number two, وَلْيُؤَدِّرْ أَمَانَةَ إِذَا أُؤْتُمِنَ He should deliver the trust when he is entrusted with a trust. He should deliver the amana when he is entrusted with amana. When he is given something by somebody to look after, then he should look after it properly. Addil amanata ila man tamanak. You must deliver the trust to that person who has left that trust with you. Now, this hadith is also very broad. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أُعْتِيتُ جَوَامِعَ الْكَلِمِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me the mu'jiza, the miracle of جَوَامِعُ الْكَلِمِ I speak very little, but it has, that little that I speak is an ocean of knowledge. So, وَلْيُؤَدِّ الْأَمَانَةَ إِذَا أُؤْتُمِنَ When you are entrusted with a trust, you must make sure that you look after that trust. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders you to deliver the trust to those people to whom it is due. When you are entrusted with somebody, if somebody gives you 50 pounds to look after the 50 pounds. If somebody gives you a briefcase to look after the briefcase. If somebody gives you a treasure to look after the treasure. This is amana. If you are made the responsible person of a masjid, then look after the masjid properly. Because you have been entrusted by people, you have been made the trustee. What is the meaning of trustee? Trustee means the one who has been entrusted to look after a trust, an amana. This masjid is an amana. Madrasa is an amana. Academy is an amana. If somebody gives you some money to look after, that is amana. An amana, we must look after the amana. We must fulfill the rights of the amana. We must not betray people. If we have been given 100 pounds, we must return the 100 pounds. If we have been given a particular item, we must return that exactly that same item. We must not substitute it with anything else that looks similar. And it is also amana. It is also amana when you are entrusted with a work. You are working for an employer. And you have been entrusted a duty from 8 o'clock till 4 o'clock, then you must continue with that duty from 8 till 4 o'clock, whether somebody is looking at you, observing you or not. It is also amana when somebody seeks mashwara from you. When somebody consults you, and somebody says, I would like to buy this house, I am not very familiar with the prices in this area, it is going for 150,000 pounds, what do you think? I am a stranger in this area. Now the thought that enters your mind at that time when you are being consulted, that is an amana that belongs to this person who is questioning you. So if the answer is yes, you must let him know that yes. Instead of saying no, and instead of saying it's very expensive and tomorrow you going there and making the deal, you must let him know that this is a very good deal and you should go ahead. This is amana. If somebody comes to you and consults you regarding the marriage of his son with a particular girl, and if the answer comes in your mind that no, then you must tell him no, because this is amana. This thought that is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not belong to you, it belongs to this person who is questioning you. Well, yu'dil amana idha tumin. This is the second quality that a person should try to acquire. The second instruction, that when you are entrusted with something, you must make sure that you look after that amana and you deliver that amana to whomsoever it belongs. And number three, wal yuhsin jiwara man jawarahu. And he should be good to his neighbors. Number three, he should be good to his neighbors. Be kind to your neighbors. Allahu Akbar. Be kind to your neighbors. We have heard this hadith over and over again. La yuminu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi. One of you cannot become a complete believer until you love for your Muslim brother what you love for yourself. We have heard this hadith over and over again. But when we look up in Muslim Sharif, there is another narration. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه وفي رواية لجاره لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لجاره ما يحب لنفسه. One of you cannot become a complete believer until he loves for his neighbor what he loves for himself. Neighbors enjoy lot of rights, my friends. Neighbors enjoy lot of rights. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أحسن إلى جارك تكون مؤمنا. In Tirmidhi Sharif we find this hadith that be kind to your neighbor, and this amal, this practice of you being kind to your neighbor will make you a perfect mu'min. Allahu Akbar. It will make you a perfect mu'min. And Allama Aini, rahimahullahu ta'ala, there are two very well-known commentators of the Bukhari Sharif. One is Shafi'i, the other is Hanafi. Hafid ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, al-Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, who authored Fathul Bari, and Allama Badruddin Aini rahimahullahu ta'ala, who authored Umdatul Qari, and they were both in Egypt at the same time, and both were married to two sisters, both were brother-in-laws. And they are both buried in the same graveyard in Egypt. Allama Aini rahmatullahi alayhi says that this hadith, or the ahadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs a mu'min to be kind and good to his neighbor encompasses every human. Yashmalul kafira wal muslim. It encompasses a non-believer. If you have a neighbor who is a non-believer, you need to be kind to him also. Wal muslim, if you have a neighbor who is a Muslim, you need to be kind to him. Wal fasik wa salih. And if the neighbor is a pious person, you need to be kind to him. And if he is a fasik, a transgressor of Sharia, you still need to be kind to him. Wal gharib wal baladiyya. If he is a person who lives in that city, you need to be kind to him. And if he is somebody who has come from the village and he is living temporary, you still need to be kind to him. Was sadiq wal aduwa. If he is your friend, you still need to be kind to him. And if he is your enemy, you still need to be kind to him. Wal qarib al abad wal qarib al aqrab. If he is your distant relative, you still need to be kind to him. And if he is your immediate relative, you still need to be kind to him. Whoever he may be, a neighbor is a neighbor. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala, the great companion, he came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He came into his home and he had instructed the people in the home to slaughter a goat and to distribute it amongst the people. When he came, they had distributed parts of it and parts of it was left. The first question he asked when he entered the ahdaytum lijarina al-yahudi. And he said it three times, ahdaytum lijarina al-yahudi, ahdaytum lijarina al-yahudi. Have you sent as gift the meat of the goat to our non-Muslim Jew neighbor or not? Our non-Muslim Jew neighbor or not? And thereafter he said,
سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول, I have heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, ما زال جبريل يوسيني بالجار. Jibreel continued to come to me and he continued to instruct me to be kind to the neighbor. Kind to the neighbor. So much so, حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّسُهُ. So much so that I began to think that Jibreel is mentioning the rights of the neighbor so much that very soon Jibreel is going to come one day and he is going to say that, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after a believer dies, then the neighbor will also share the inheritance with the children of the person who has died. So he said, we need to be kind. So my friends, these are the three a'mal that we need to carry out. Three a'mal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا تَبَخْتَ مَرَقَةً فَأَكْثِرْ مَاءَهَا وَتَعَاهَدْ لِجِيرَانِكَ. If you are cooking soup and the meat is sufficient only for your family, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, put one or two glasses extra and make more soup so that you are able to look after your neighbors. إِذَا تَبَخْتَ مَرَقَةً فَأَكْثِرْ مَاءَهَا وَتَعَاهَدْ. Nowadays, my friends, no relationship with neighbors whatsoever. No relationship. We do not even know who our neighbor is. We do not know why we are not seeing our neighbor for the past few days. And never mind a non-Muslim neighbor. Non-Muslim neighbor has a lot of rights, even if you have a Muslim neighbor. If we have a non-Muslim neighbor, then he has 100% rights as a neighbor. And if we have a neighbor who is a Muslim, then he has 200% rights because we have two relationships with him. One is that he is our human brother and second is that he is our Muslim brother. And if this neighbor is your relative, then he has 300% rights because he is your human brother, he is your Muslim brother and he is also related to you. But friends, we have become so strange with each other that just only because we come from different parts of the world, we are not even prepared to make salam with each other in the masjid, in the house of Allah. In the house of Allah, we are not prepared to recognize each other. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that this is the sign of Qiyamah, that a Muslim will only greet another Muslim if he knows him. If he is acquainted to him, he will say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If he is not acquainted to him, he will not make salam. So my friends, this is a prescription of becoming the beloved of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, فَلْيَصْدُقْ فِي حَدِيثِهِ. You must always speak the truth. Number two, وَلْيُؤَدِّ الْأَمَانَةِ إِذَا أَتُمِنْ. We must deliver the trust to those whom it is due to. We must look after the trust when we are entrusted by somebody. And number three, وَلْيُحْسِنْ جِوَارُ مَنْ جَاوَرَهُ. We should be kind to our neighbors. Those neighbors who are our permanent neighbors, those neighbors who are our temporary neighbors, who have come for 2 months, 3 months, or 1 year or 2 years to study, and it is a coincidence that he is living next to us. And the Sharia has emphasized the rights of neighbor to such an extent that you must even look after the very, very temporary neighbor, the one who's sitting next to you in the bus or in the train, or in the majlis, in a gathering, before salat, after salat, the one who's sitting next to you, you must look after him as well. You must be kind. You must not say anything that will hurt his feelings. You must not do anything that will hurt his feelings. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَمْ. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَمْ, the one who is sitting next to you. So let us follow these three advices, inshallah. If we do this, if we take this prescription seriously, then inshallah, we will begin to entertain the sweetness of the love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once that happens, it will be very easy for us to practice the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once we are able to do this, we will become the beloved of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the prescription to become the beloved of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.